Okay, we're picking up for the Gemara on Chav Beis and Beis. We're three lines from the bottom of the words of Ibailu. The Gemara is discussing a similar case with regards to smoking fruits on Yantiv. So the Gemara says, Ibailu, Ma'ala Ashin. What's the halacha with regards to smoking fruits on Yantiv in the smoke of burning spices? Rashi just points out that they used to leave fruits open to the smell of burning spices, and they would absorb the fragrance, and they would actually increase the taste and make it taste better. I think some people, there is a concept of smoking. I'm not a chef, but I think that there is such a thing that people do with regards to making things more flavorful. So that they were wondering, can you do that on Yantiv as well? So the Gemara has machlokas about this. Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba Amar Rav, he says, name of Rav, that it's usher. It's going to be usher, as Rashi explains, because at the end of the day, that we only allow things that are going to be malacha done for yamtiv if it applies to shava lechol nefesh, the average person was able to do it. Rav says that smoking fruit is done only by someone who is very fancy, someone who's going to be able to have a gourmet cooking, and not everybody is able to have that level of the smoked fruit, so therefore it's going to be usher because it's not going to be shava lechol nefesh. Ushmul Amar Mutter, Shmuel disagrees. He says that there's difference. Rashi points out that when it comes to the fact that the fruits over here aren't necessarily shava lechol nefesh, not everybody can afford it, but if everybody had the opportunity to be able to eat these fruits, they would think they're delicious, they'd love to have it, and therefore it'd be okay. So why is that different than the mugmar, which we're assuming is usher? So because apparently the burning incense, the common person doesn't even care about it, and he doesn't even want it. You tell them you could have it, he'd be like, oh, I wouldn't even like walk 5 minutes to go get it. So that may be something that's bechlal, that you have to make a chiluk, that's why Shmuel would agree that case is usher, but when it comes to the burning of the fruits, smoking the fruits, that be'etzim is going to be mutter, because everybody theoretically would want it, just because people can't afford it wouldn't be a reason that's not called Shava Lechol Nefesh. So now the Gemara says, Rav Huna Amar Aser Pnei Shemechaves. So explaining why Rav held that it's Aser. So then the Gemara explains, because when a person is going to be doing this, that when a person puts the spices on the burning coals, he's going to be extinguishing the coals, and that's going to be Mechabe. And Mechabe, again, if there wasn't the heter of Mitoch, then it's going to be Aser. Extinguishing is going to be Aser on Yamtiv. And therefore, again, since it's not by the average person, it's going to be Aser because you're going to do Mechabe. And Rav would hold, maybe there's an Isser Dereisa, because once it's not Shavah Chonefesh, we don't apply Mitoch, and you'd have an Isser Dereisa at hand. Second, within Rav, why are you saying that it's only usher because you are extinguishing? Also, lighting a fire is also usher niyantiv, and you're creating a new fire with these spices. After the spices are spread over the coals, they begin to heat up, and eventually they're going to ignite, which is also going to be melacha of Mavir, of lighting the fire. So the Gemara answers, Amr Lei, Tchlosu Mechabe, Sof Mavir. You're right, it is. It's two different Isurim. Both Mechabe, both extinguishing, and also Mavir, lighting the fire, are going to be violated over here. However, the order of which they were done over here, because the way that it was done, it was first the coals are placed in the spices, then they are going to do Mechabe, then they're extinguished, and then they're later are going to reignite themselves, and then that's going to create a fire. That's going to be the Isur of Mavir. But he was just telling you one of the first Isur that was mentioned was the one that you violated first, which is why I mentioned it. But in a chanami, you'd be over, according to Rav, two different Isurim. So Gemara now says, Amar Rav Yehuda, al gabi gachalas asr, that when it comes to Rav, said that it's asr, only if placing it on top of a burning coal, that's going to be asr, because that's going to be mechabe, and mavir was just mentioned, that's going to be extinguishing and lighting the fire. Turning on to the next Amadir, al gabi cheres mutar, however, if you place the spices on a hot earthenware tray in order to smoke the fruits, that was going to be mutar, even according to Rav, because there's no Isur Dereisa when it comes to this Isur, there's no Isur Dereisa if you're doing it on earthenware, where nothing is going to be mechabe. It's not going to be extinguished anything. And therefore, mavir, which is performed, it is going to happen. Mavir is going to happen because it's going to reignite itself. So Rashi points out, it's ayadei shinu ikal achayad v'leik Isur Dereisa. It's only going to be at maximum an Isur Derabanan. And then we would apply, apparently, for whatever reason, Rashi doesn't explain further why we would be allowed the Isur Derabanan in this dispensation, according to Rav. Lekor, you have to say something that along the lines of the fact that it's a tzarech hayamtiv, that they wanted to give you the opportunity to have this gachelis, these smoked fruits. So then we would allow it to have the Isur Derabanan. We would be moved over for this case. Rabbi disagrees. Says also, even by placing them on hot earthenware, mishum deka molid recha, because there's another problem over here. If there's an isur derabanan of being molid or creating a fragrance, a new fragrance. He would agree with Rav Yehuda that there is no mechabe, and also theoretically the mavir is not an isur deraisa. However, he says it's usher because creating a new fragrance is still usher, it's still similar to malacha, and therefore the rabbanan wouldn't waive that isur derabanan, and they would hold that it's usher. So now the Gemara says, Rabbi Rav Yosef Damar Tavayu. Usually, always when the Gemara will say Damar Tavayu, it's usually two bar pluklas. Rabbi and Rav Yosef are often arguing. So the fact that they say the same thing, the Gemara will say, Da'amrei Tavayu. They both said, Rabbi and Rav Yosef, they both said this, Da'amrei Tavayu, Sechuvei Kas Hashir B'yom Tavayu Asur. So so that if you turn over a fragrant cup of silk garments on Yom Tov, so the fabric will absorb the fragrance, that's going to be Asr on Yom Tov. The Gemara asks, my time, what's the reason that this is Asr? Because you're creating a new fragrance. So the Gemara says, so why is this different from the case that you have the fragrant wood, you're allowed to roll between your fingers and create and seemingly create a smell to it? Or also, clip the top of it and smell it. And these dried out, Rashi points out, the dragon would come out of the weak aroma. If the person would clip it, you would have a new smell, a stronger smell. So this also creating seemingly what's a new fragrance, and then should be usher b'tzad molded of a new reach, of a new smell. So the Gemara says, no, there's a fundamental difference between the case when it's mutter and the case when it's usher, because hasam reicha mi'a isa, that the case of the wood, you already had, the fragrance was already there, it was just very weak, you were strengthening the strength of the smell, so that's what you wanted. So that's, all you're doing is adding and enhancing the smell, that's not considered moly, that's not considered a new maisa that you're doing. However, in the case of the earthenware garment made from the wanyantiv, that's going to be usher because you're creating a new fragrance, and that's usher, that's going to be creating a new smell, which is going to be usher. Okay, so now the Gemara goes back to discussion with regards to fruits. So the Gemara now says, Rava, Amar Rava, who's going to, seemingly Rava is going to follow the opinion of Shmuel, and he's going to say, even further, Al Gabi Gecheles Nami Mota, that even permitted to place incense atop of burning coals in order to smoke the fruits, Midi Dehave, Abisar Gume, just as meat is allowed to be made on roasted coals. Rava follows Shmuel, that most people would enjoy the smoked fruits had they been given the opportunity to have them, and therefore, it's going to be mutter, even though burning the coals involves malachos because of mitoch, we're going to say that it's going to be mutter. And he points out that this is no worse than the case of roasting meat by placing on hot coals, that we know that there's another way you could cook, right? There's many malachos of the burning coals, yet you could put it by putting in a pot, yet it's going to be mutter. That's answering the Rishonim's question, is that why does Rava have to say the analogy? Just let him say that. Halacha follows Shmuel. So Shita Mekubetz answers by saying over here that Rava is telling you that even though there's another way to prepare the food over here, that you can put without roasting it on the coals. You could have been roasted in a pot, which would have less malachos. There's no reason to do that if you enjoy the coals more. So that's if you enjoy that type of meat more, then it would be totally fine, even though the more malachos created. Same thing with regards to the case with the malacha, with the preparation of over here, when it comes to the optional method of putting it on a klecheres, which would be on earthenware, which not involve this malacha, still, it's not going, you don't have anything you have to do that, because fundamentally it's going to be mutter mitzad mitoch. So now the Gemara says, Darash Rav Gavya mebe kasle apitcha de Reish Galusa. Rav Gavya, he was a big kisil, he was in the house of the Reish Galusa. Reish Galusa was the in charge of all Bavel, he was like the Rosh Kol Agola, he was a very strong position, the government recognized this, he was a very strong person, and he gave this shear in front of the Reish Galusa, Keturah Shari. All he said was Keturah Shari. Now Keturah, he didn't tell us what it is. Keturah can mean a few different, two different things. Gemara's going to ask, what exactly did he mean by Keturah Shari? So the Gemara says, what is this? Amar Le'a Meimar, my Keturah, what did he mean when it says Keturah is mutter? So now the first explanation means Ik Keturah Biyade. It means that if you talk about, Rashi says, you had these Osin Labate Shukayim, they have these sleeves, things, and Vate Yadayim, the things that they would have as sleeves, they would make them for women, al etzo chalak al aguda, that they would have this the type of material that it was referred to knotting over here, and they would put it it's ma'isa umanu, and it's still considered craftsman's work to create this begadim for the woman, that would be something that's clearly usher on Yom Tov. So that's what the question of here, that these sleeves for the women, or the leggings, that's going to be when you put them and you put them, pound them and you put them on a smooth board, Rashi explains, that's going to be something that's a ma'isa uman, it's craftsman, so therefore it's definitely going to be a malacha and usher on Yom Tov. So Marsha's vila ashen, if it's talking about smoking produce, so keturah is the lashon of keturah in Aramaic, also means smoke, Rashi says, so therefore it's referring to someone who's smoking fruits in a fragrant smoke of a burning incense. So the Gemara says, Asur dahaka mechabe. Wait a second, that's Asur, because you're going to be doing the malacha of mechabe. So the Gemara answers, which one did he mean, and how does it work? So both of them are problematic. So the Gemara says, Amar le'Ravashi. Ravashi says, La'olam ma'ashin. Rav Gavya meant that, enichanam, you're talking about smoking the produce. Mi didavya bisra agume. It's saying just as the meat is allowed to be roasted on the coals, and it's a similar lashon of what Rav was saying before. Ikud Amar le'Amemar. So he holds like Shmuel, so that's not a problem. Amar le'Amemar. Amemar said, my Keturah, what does Keturah mean? Ik Keturah biyadei. If he means the pressing the sleeves, and we just mentioned that would be ma'isa umanu, that's for sure malacha, that's just a different version of how it comes out. It comes out the same. Ila ashen osir, smoking fruits also osir, the kamali reichia, creating a new fragrance. Amar Vashi, ana amrisa nele. I taught this law to Rav Gavya, mashmei the gavar rav amrisa nele, and I told him in front of a great person. La olam ashen, it's referring to smoking the fruits. L'midi dehavi abisra agumdei, that's permitted just as meat on the roasted coals, also going to be permitted, so too, even though the meat creates the smell on the coals, nevertheless, going to be permitted to roast the meat on them, that's going to be okay. okay. And this case also is going to be okay because we go like Shmuel, and that's why he's passing and we go like Shmuel. Now the Gemara is going to the last part of the Mishnah. Ve'osin gdi mekulas. You're allowed to make these baby goats in the way that it looked like you were doing the Korban Pesach outside of Yerushalayim. That's what Rabbi Gamliel, as a zecha lemikdash, you were doing according to Rabbi Gamliel. And the Chachamim are very upset about it. Tanya, so the Gemara has a brisa about this. Rabbi Yossi Omer. Rabbi Yossi says, Todos Yishromi, Todos Yishromi. It was a very big Talmud Chacham, Rashi says. We're going to see that in a moment because it wasn't going to be put in need. Chacham Gadav Nechbar, Rashi says. He had a minhag of the people in Rome. The echok di mekulas, but lebsachim that have a baby goat that was roasted that looks like mamish like a korban pesach as zeichel mikdash on the leil seder by the night of pesach. Shalchu le, the rabbanim were very upset about this. And Malay todas hata, as Rashi pointed out, that if we were not todas, who was a chacham gadol nechbad, we would have put you in gazran lachanidu, we put you in excommunication because we want you to stop this practice. It looks like that the machel bnei Yisrael kachim mechutz. You're causing the Jews to eat kachim outside of Yerushalayim. There's no space in mikdash yet. They're eating kachim. The Gemara says, what do you mean? Kachim sachadaitach. They didn't have in mind. They were eating for kachim. They didn't designate them as korbanos. Not mamish kachim. So the Gemara says you're right. Ela ima kein kachim, that they would have these baby goats similar to korbanos, and people would think that they're having korbanos outside of Yerushalayim, and that's the problem over here. And they were very afraid of that. So that's where the minhag comes that we don't have any type of roasted meat. That's al shaila. What becomes roasted? It's like gedar, all these different gedarim. But we don't have the minhag of most people is not to have any roasted meat whatsoever on the first night of Pesach. Someone told me that the minhag in Rome arayom is that they do have this gedim kulas. They follow this todos yishromi, and they still arayom have this minhag to have the gedim kulas. I never confirmed that, but that would be fascinating to me that they're still keeping this minhag that the Chazal were upset about, almost 2,000 years later. They're still keeping that minhag. I don't know, but that's what I heard. That'd be fascinating. But either way, our minhag based on this is to go even further, not just the gedim kulas, but we don't have any roasted meat. Many have the practice to not have any roasted meat the first night of the Seder. Okay, now the Mishnah was talking about before Rabbi Gamliel's Eterim, so now the Gemara is going to talk about different time. Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, who said three things that the Chacham disagreed with him. Shlosha Devarim, Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah matir. Three things, Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah said, Mutr v'chachamim osir, v'chachamim said, Asr. Paraso yotza beratzua shebin karnea. His cow would go into the public with a strap between its horns, and we know there's an iser. Lo sasa kamalacha ato v'hemtacha, right? Also, your animal can't do malachas for you. And if something is considered it's going to be a masa, it's going to be a burden rather than it is a tachshi, something that the animal is lovish in, so that's going to be usr. Umikardinus abeima b'yamtav, you're allowed to groom an animal with a metal comb on yamtav. The problem with doing this metal comb is that the blood can be drawn from this, and the Gemara is going to discuss exactly the parameters of what the machlokas is about. So I'm also allowed to grind peppercorns in the grinder. The Gemara holds that would be mutter. The Rishonim have a machlokas about why the Chacham disagreed. We hold that it is aser, but many hold that it's an iser debanim because it's uvdin dechol. It's a the weekday activity that's all shayla. Uvdin dechol is one of the hardest things in the world to have a getter for bizman. Is that what is considered uvdin dechol? Like Rav Avadya that has a tshuva that he gets around most of there's a whole Ashkenazi poskim, most of them are machmir for other balachas. With regards to brushing your teeth on Shabbos, Ravadi gets around a lot of them in terms of what he thinks are in the malachas, but he says it's umdin dechol to have that toothbrush. I think he says you should designate a Shabbos toothbrush. Again, if you're Sfardi Ad Apsak, but many Ashkenazi post-him are other issues, are mamachic, other things that are problematic for using a toothbrush on Shabbos. But anyway, it's very hard to find the getter what's considered umdin dechol, but either way, that's the Rishonim hold that this might be umdin dechol. Others hold that no. The malacha of tochen is not included in food reparation, and therefore it's going to be an isra even potentially deraisa. That's what the Chacham Mamish disagree with Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer in Mekardinus Abein Rabbi Yamtav. Rabbi Yehuda says you're not allowed to groom an animal with a metal comb. Yamtav Nesha Osa Chavur, you're making a wound. Aval Mekartzef, and you are allowed to groom it with a wooden comb, which would not. We're going to see exactly what the good or why the wooden comb is much better. Rabbi Chamilman in Mekardin Aflo Mekartzef, and they hold that you're not allowed to groom it with a metal or with a wooden one. They're the most machmir. The Gemara is going to explain the machlokas. The Gemara says. The first question the Gemara is bothered by is that it doesn't make any sense because Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, he only had one cow. It says Paraso, his one cow would go out on Shabbos. He didn't have one cow. He was a very wealthy man. They say the name of Rav, or Rabbi Yehuda say the name of Rav. 13,000 calves. Hiya Meiser Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah. Every year, Lazar ben Azariah would take off Meiser Behema. He would take off Meiser Behema from of his cattle, from the sheep and the goats, he would take off 13,000, which means that he had 130 calves every single year that were born to him. So the Gemara is asking why it seemed to be like as if he had one designated cow that would go out on Shabbos. The Tosfos is very bothered, by the way. What's going on over here? Rabbi Lezer and Azariah, the Tosfos proved, lived well after the Churban because there was two generations after Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai who was when the Churban was. So how was it that the Gemara tells us, and the Gemara in Bechoros tells us, after the Churban, the whole Meiser Behema, the concept of Meiser Behema was wasn't misbatel. So Tosfos gives a few different answers. First, they say maybe it wasn't misbatel right away, the Meiser Behema. Maybe it was only lachar zman. Maybe that was the first thing. Or they set up an apotropius from his estate, which already was existent from the time of the Beis Hamikdash. Maybe it was a 100-year estate that he had, and he was giving it off. Or Tosfos says maybe it just wasn't even talking about Meiser over here. It wasn't talking about the Meiser Behema. So it wasn't talking about the Meiser of taking off that Meiser. Rather, it was talking about a different chiyuv to give taxes to the king every year. That's what he was discussing over here. So again, different answers from Tosfos how the bechal this was shaykh. But either way, we see that it clearly wasn't his one animal. So the Gemara answers Tana within an abraisa loha shelo. I say you're right. It wasn't his animal. Rather ela shel shechinosaya. Rather it was his neighbor's animal. Mitol shelo michaba. Since he did not protest the practice of the neighbor, it was her female neighbor. Nikrais al shemo. He was referred to him. And he got credit in a bad way that he didn't protest enough to tell her not to do it, so he was punished for that. That's the Mesilas Yesharim talks about this exact case. But when a person always has a mechashbin, and his Midas appreciates a lot of times, a person has a mechashbin that, always calculate different things are very hard. It's very hard to figure out what is Ratzon Hashem from you, and Chazal are upset about this one. Even Rav Elazar Zaria wasn't sometimes able to mechashbin it. Like a lot of times, I remember in the commentaries of Mesilas Yesharim, they give an example, like a person will, he's a guy's late to Seder, so he'll like rush and accidentally push in to bump into someone. So that's mamish, not okay. The person's gonna be very upset, and a yeshiva bach or an avreich is running and he's hitting somebody on the way and he's not paying attention to where he's going. That's not a good thing. You're trying to get to Seder, that's great. You're trying to go learn Torah, that's wonderful. But you always have to mechashbin the world around you in every situation, every scenario, what's good. So over here also, I'm sure he had a cheshbon why he didn't, there's no point to that. He had a cheshbon for why he wasn't protesting, but still, Chazal said that he was able to when he should have protested. Okay, that was the Gemara. Now, could the Gemara continue? So, mechashbin is a behemoth yomtov, if you're allowed to. Grew the animal on Yom Tov. The Gemara says Tana Rabbanu. We learn in a brisa. Ezo kirtzov. What is the form of a grooming that's mutter? What is kirtzov over here? The different type of grooming. Gemara says kirud ketanim ve'osu chabura. Kirud is referring to a metal comb and has small teeth in this comb that make a wound. Kirtzov gedolim ve'en osim chabura. However, kirtzov is referring about a wooden comb that has larger teeth to this comb and they don't necessarily make a wound. So the Gemara explains what are the three machlokes about. The Gimel machlokes whatever. There's three way machlokes about this. Rabbi Yehuda holds davar shenim miskaven asher. The first thing is that malacha that's unintended is going to be usher. We know there's fundamentally machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. We discussed it many times over Masechta Shabbos. It comes up in every Masechta, in Erev, and all the time it comes up, and it comes up to other halachas as well. When it comes to davar shenim miskaven versus a davar shenim miskaven, when the thing that you're doing is not what you want. The classic example, you're dragging a bench, and you might create a ditch in the ground, which would be an isser of mashrigum, which is an isser of chloresh, it's an isser of reisa. So if I'm not necessarily going to do it, Rabbi Shimon holds it's davar shenim miskaven. All I want to do is get my bench from point A to point B. I'm bringing it from one side of the field to the other, and I'll sit on it because it's shady over there. So that wouldn't be an issue. So that's not davar shenim miskaven. However, if it's something in which it's unintended, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's still going to be usher. It's important to note, though, if it's for sure going to create a malacha, then that's what's a different category of psik reisha v'layamas. That's meaning you cut off the chicken's head, and it's not going to die. Meaning, obviously, if something that's 100% going to happen, even Reb Shimon is moded that would be aser pashtus, even iser deraisa on Shabbos as well. So only when something is not necessarily going to happen, that is going to be the machlokas between Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon. So Reb Yehuda holds that even if a malacha might not happen, it's still going to be aser. So now that's the first point. However, if when it comes to grooming with a metal comb that has small teeth that makes a wound, kirtzov gedolim ve'en osim chabura. The large ones, they definitely don't make a wound. It's not going to be a problem. V'logos v'en kirtzov ata kirud. We don't make a gzera on the wooden one because of the possibility of using a metal one, which is miaser. It's okay to use the wooden one. V'rabbanan savrei nami kavidur. Rabbanan in our Mishnah also hold with Rabbi Yehuda that davar shenim miskaven is aser. Davar shenim miskaven aser. V'gazirna kirtzov ata kirud. But they do say that you should make a gzera on the wooden one lest you come to use a metal one, which is going to them, according to them, going to be aser. You're not going to notice them, and therefore they hold that all types of grooming are going to be aser. Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah savra that Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah holds like Rabbi Shimon. The davar shenim miskaven is mutter. The davar shenim miskaven is going to be mutter. Ubein kirud ubein kirtzov shari. Then both combing them in a metal comb or in the wooden comb is not necessarily 100% going to happen, and therefore it's not something that's going to be aser, even if it's very likely to happen, even if it's more than 60-70%. It's going to be mutter. There is a concept of karav lipsik reisha, but that's mamash when something is mamash karav levada. And Maisa Shaya with Rav Nevenzel, just to point out, with Davar Shem Miskaven, this is a very funny time. When Maisa that Rav Nevenzel, there's a lot of letters on the ice cream that they always used to serve at Rav Nevenzel's meal after the meal. And so someone asked him, Reb Nevin told him, allowed to open it. And it's very hard. I don't know how you can get around the letters, but Reb Nevin told that it wasn't a psik resha, and he said yes. And the boy was like hesitant to open it because he saw like all the letters there. He thought for sure he's going to rip through the letters. Reb Nevin took the ice cream thing from him, and he opened it himself and gave it back to him. So it's what's a shaila? When exactly, what's karav psik resha, what's not? But either way, he holds it both are going to be mutter. Now the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Rav Nachman said to Rav Shmuel, Ve'amrele, Amar Rav Nachman, Lechude, Allah, Rav Shimon, Allah, follows Rav Shimon, Darvah Shimon, Skavin, is going to be good. And he also pointed out, Rav Lezer, Rav Lezer, such a great Talmud Chacham, agreed with Rav Shimon, he agreed that leniency of Darvah Shimon, Skavin is mutter, and therefore, since Rav Lezer, Rav hold like that, I hold Darvah Shimon, Skavin is mutter. The Gemara says, what do you mean? Amrele, Rav Lev Nachman, Rav Aslan, Rav Nachman, Ve'lema, Mar Lach, Rav Yehuda, Sharei Chamim, what do you mean? Rav Yehuda had the Chachamim, that's more people than Rav Lezer, that whole Ahim, the Darvah Shimon, Skavin is also, that's we saw Chachamim agreed. In our Mishnah, Chachamim agreed with Rabbi Yehuda that Darvah Shimon is Kavan Hazazar. So the Gemara answers, Rav Nachman. The Gemara says, Amar Leir. Rav Nachman answers, Ana Kerb Shimon's Relayer. Rav Nachman saying, I hold the Kerb Shimon. The old Sharei Belezer and Zarya Modelan. And just like another sniff, it's like, Rav Nachman gives a psak, and Rav Shlomo Zalman or Rav Moshe happy to say the psak also. So you hold like Rav Nachman anyway, because that's how you hold. And it's just pointing out, Rav Moshe held that way also. Really hold like it because Rav Nachman tells your Rebbe, and that's how you hold. But that's him, because Rav Moshe said it also, that's a very big, another reason, Rav Lezer and Zarya. It's another addition to Paskin like this as well. That's what he was pointing out. He doesn't hold a bit because Rav Lezer and Azariah, but rather he held like Rav Shimon. So we really hold like Rav Shimon. There's a mashmos in the Rambam. They may have held like Rav Yehuda. By the way, we hold that Tavar Shinu Miskaven like Rav Shimon is going to be mutter. Now the Mishnah talks about a different status of the pepper grinder. Once we mentioned the Rechayim, so Pipulin, we're going to discuss that. There's a side point over here. Tmei Mishum Shlosha Kelim. It has three different parts to it. In Maseches Kelim, there's 30 prakim that talk about all different kelim, different type of kelim, and how what is a base kibble? What is if something has a base kibble? Something has a receptacle. Something is able to take it, and something that loses its status because it's taken apart is not going to be a kli. So the Mishnah over here is telling us that this pepper grinder, even if it's taken apart, it still has three functional parts, in which case all of them are still going to be mekabel tuma. So mishum kli kibul, one is a receptacle, mishum kli metechas, the other one is a metal utensil, mishum kli kavar, and the other one is a sieve, and therefore they're all going to be tameh. The Gemara says tana, so just explaining this Mishnah, tachtona mishum kli kibul, the bottom component of the pepper grinder over here can become tummy because it's a receptacle. It's able to the lower component it can collect things. So therefore, it's going to be a klikibul, and therefore it's going to be something that's subject to tuma. Emtzayis mishum klikavara, the middle component is contact tuma because it's a sieve, and therefore it's going to be something that's also considered a kli. Aliona mishum kli matachas, and the upper component can contract tuma because it is a metal utensil. The upper component Rashi points out is also it's not a klikibul, so it's only if it's made of metal. It's going to make it tameh because if it's made of wood and it's not a kli kibul, that's not mekabel tumah. So therefore, since it's made of metal and that's Rashi points out that's the main component of it, so therefore it's going to be something which is subject to the lachas of tumah. Now, next Mishnah, agala shel katan. If you have a toy wagon, tamei midrash, it's going to be tamei midrash. A children's toy wagon. Rashi says he sits on it and he uses it as a toy. And it's tamei midrash. It's going to be tamei midrash. Midrash we know is something who is a zav or a nida. And they have, and they sit or lean on something, or they sit on it or lie down on it. That is going to, that's a lachos of tumah. Usually always the status is one of the few exceptions, where usually the thing that you are touching, let's say a person, we're all have a tumah, so we touch something, that makes it a regional tumah. It always goes down a step. Usually regional will make a sheni, right, by foods and drinks, et cetera, or shlishi or vi, it'll go always a further level. One of the chidushim is that by, when it comes to the tumah of midrash, that the person is the ava tumah, if he sits on an item or leans on an item, that also becomes a tamei midrash, that also becomes an ava tumah. So our Mishnah is talking about that if the child is a zav, so he's an avatuma. So if he leans on this, that would make this a midras as well. Tosfos just point out that Rashi's case of saying that it's something that the person sits on is difficult because at the end of the day, that's pashut that would be subject to the halachos of midras. So Tosfos says it's actually mamash like the toy walkers that we have, this manazeh that people use as walking. They don't sit on it at all. All they do is lean on it. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah. It's teaching them how to walk. The thing with the walkers in front of them, that's mamash like the things that we have. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah. Okay, so when you tell us b'shabbos, you're allowed to take on Shabbos because it's a kli. It's not considered mukta. That's a chiddush. Ve'ena nigraris ella al gabi gechalim, and it can't be dragged over clothing. Usually over here, it means over here it's something of fabrics, the kelim and clothing. So Rashi adds that applies to halachas of Shabbos and not on a dirt floor. So because you have them in the dirt floor, that's going to be usher, because it's going to be the subcategory of filling in the floor, which would make a told of choresh, halacha of mash v'gumah, which would be a told of choresh. Rabbi Yehuda says, kol hakelim in nigrar, no utensil allowed to be dragged on the ground, chutz min hagalah b'mnei shi koveshes, except for a wagon, because it presses. Although it looks like Rashi says, it looks like you might be creating a ditch in the ground. That's not really true, though, because it's not no ground, no dirt is being moved from its place. The wheels create they create like this impression down in the ground. You put the pressure on it, yes, it will create. It looks like it, but it's not moving any dirt. So therefore, there's no halacha of choresh according to Rabbi Yehuda. So now the Gemara says, agala shel katan tamei midras. So when it comes to the toy wagon, it's going to be tamei midras. Because the child leans on it, as I just mentioned, according to Tosos, it seems to fit a little bit better that you lean on it, and therefore it's subject to the lachos of midras. When he tells b'Shabbos, it's not only moved on Shabbos, mishum to ikat Torah's klila, because it's not muksa, because it has a kli, it's a utensil, something that's useful on Shabbos, and the child can play with it. So then the Mishnah also says, v'inu gras el agave kelim, only dragged over clothing, al beke kelim in agave karkalo, only over clothing, it's permitted not on the ground. My time, what's the reason? To ka'avit chartz, because you're going to be making a ditch when you drag it on the ground. The Gemara says money, but who's the halacha following? If it's Rabbi Yehuda, damar derech kamis ka'asr, it's following Rabbi Yehuda holds that unintended malach is going to be asr. Again, clearly you're going through it. It's not necessarily going to create a ditch when the child walks through it with this leaning thing, but still, it might, therefore it's asr. Dear Rabbi Shimon, because what we just mentioned, if it's Rabbi Shimon, damar derech kamis ka'asr, mutter, Rabbi Shimon holds that a malach that's unintended, it's not necessarily going to happen, it's going to be mutter. And the whole purpose is that you're moving around with it because you want to use it. This non on the kelim, you're just moving around from place to place. Rabbi Shimon, omer, gore adamita kakisos also, the classic example, you're allowed to drag a bench, a bed, a chair, anything on a field. Eventually, you're scavenging those cards. As long as a person doesn't intend to create a ditch and he wants to bring it from point A to point B, it's totally fine to drag it on the ground because you're not necessarily going to create a ditch. So that is, this halacha must follow Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, but that doesn't work though. Because the hemshich of the Mishnah tells us, Rabbi Yehuda said, no utensil ought to be dragged on the ground on Shabbos, chutz min agalav neishi kovesh, except for a wagon because it only presses. Neishi kovesh is in only because it presses down. It doesn't necessarily create aval charetz lo avda, but it doesn't necessarily create a ditch. So the beginning of the Mishnah is lechora is following Rabbi Yehuda, and implies that one is not allowed to drag a wagon on the ground because a wagon, it does create a ditch. So which is it? So the Gemara points out, Trei Tanai Valiba Rabbi Yehuda. Two Tanaim disagree with regards to Rabbi Yehuda in the case of the wagon. That's what the Gemara is pointing out, that a wagon generally creates these, it does create this pressure under the ground, but the Shaila is it enough to warrant the Davar Shinam Eskavin according to Yehuda, as we pointed out? And the Davar Shinam Eskavin is something that's not necessarily going to happen, but what percentages are Rabbi Yehuda going to say is Aser? So you can't just say like even a 5% chance. The 4 or 5% chance is so remote that's never going to happen. Maybe it would. Maybe that's what this machlokas over here is. That's the point. Where this over here, the Tana at the end of our Mishnah holds that it's unlikely for a wheel to get stuck, and therefore it's going to be more to even according to Rabbi Yehuda. The first Tana holds that no, even something that's a smaller chance of happening, it doesn't explain exactly which is which though. Like what are the percentages? It'd be nice to know. And that's Rabbi Yehuda. But either way, even if something is less likely to happen according to Rabbi Yehuda, that would still be problematic. That's the first Tana. The second Tana holds no. If something is really mamish, a very very small tiny chance of something happening, that would not be an issue according to Rabbi Yehuda. With that, we just finished. First, very hajjalach. A second, very hajjalach. Hajjalach. Yom tov hajjalach. Yom tov hajjalach. Yom tov. Now we're up to the next Mishnah. Now we told us it's important to give an akdam over here that generally that kol tzarchi olcha nefesh. The pasuk says acholchom nefesh hu levado yaselach. And the pasuk tells you that you're allowed to cook on yom tov. So now lechora that should be included. All malachas that are in the process of cooking should or helping you to cook should be mutter. So, however, our Mishnah is one of the examples that say that it's usher. It's usher to do a certain malachas even in the preparation of food. So, what is the gedder over here? So, according to Rashi. The gedder is that if it's something that could be done and be removed and be done before Yom Tov, doing it on Yom Tov is going to be usr. Totally usr to do it on Yom Tov because it's something that the quality, that qualitatively nothing changed. By baking right now, it makes it more fresh, the food is better, and it makes sense. By doing something else, preparing the food before on Yom Tov, it makes sense. It would be to shecht an animal right now, it's more fresh, it tastes better, a fresh animal is better also, then you could do it right now. But other malachas that were theoretically able to be done before Yom Tov, according to Rashi, is totally usr to do the manyantav. According to many acronym in the Das of Rashi, it's even an Isser de Oraisa according to Rashi. However, the Rambam agrees with Rashi's premise that that's the chiluk, is whether or not something could be done before Yantav or not be done before Yantav. However, he holds that it's all an Isser de Rabbanan. And the reason that Chazal goes there, according to the Rambam, the whole Isser of doing it on Yantav is all an Isser de Rabbanan, meaning really any preparation of food should have been mutter. But Chazal were afraid, the Chachamim were afraid that a person all day, what is he going to be doing all day? He's just going to be busy preparing his food that he didn't take care of yesterday, similar to on Chol HaMoed. Why is a person not allowed to shave or get a haircut? Because we're afraid that a person Erev Yom Tov is not going to go get a haircut and go take care of himself. Oh, I have a day off, so let me just go take care of my haircut and go shave on Chol HaMoed. He's going to come in with an unshaven and not a nice haircut coming into the Yom Tov. Similar, busy all day with Yom Tov preparations. That's not nice. You should take care of it before Yom Tov. That's why there's a Gezeira Derabanan. That is the opinion of Rashi. The Rosh and the Ran disagree. They hold that generally it's just a halacha that's larger in context. It's something that's done on a mass scale, or something that might be a little bit more difficult. Those malachas are going to be usher on Yom Tov, even preparing food. Again, also they would hold like the Rambam, that's only an Isra Rabbanan, not an Isra Deraisa, and those would be usher on Yom Tov. That's the machlokas between Rashi and the Rush. So now we're up to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "In tzadin dagan mevirim b'yomtov." So you're not allowed to catch fish from a fish pond on Yomtov. Ve'enos in the fam zonos, also not allowed to put food before them. Even the Tana says that preparing food animals on Yomtov is going to be mutter. He allows it only for animals that rely on their owners for eating. The fish over here don't need to rely on eating, so therefore that's considered a tircha yaseira, and it's not something that's going to be usher on Yomtov. That's why it's usher. People who do tashach on Rosh Hashanah, it's completely usher to throw the bread to. I don't know where this. The Rabban always every year say not to do it, and people still do it anyway. I'm not exactly sure why. It's usher to do that. It's Beferish Shemishah right here. It says that it's usher to give mazonos to not your animals. Also, you are allowed to catch wild animals if they're already considered non-domesticated animals. If they're already considered pre-chat before Yom Tov, if they were already in their enclosures before Yom Tov, that's going to be okay. So it's already considered already trapped. Therefore, the malach of tzad doesn't apply, and therefore it's going to be mutter. In the case of the fish, Rashi points out though that is the malach of tzad, because even though they're in a small pond, still you're still capturing them. That's why the malach of tzad will be a mutter. V'nos lefnei mazonos, you're allowed to put food before them. Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel says, lo kol abirin shavin. Not every case of all the enclosures, things that you're enclosing, is the same. So you have to tell whether or not it's going to be mutter or not. Zach, this is a general rule with whether an animal is allowed to be caught in yantav or not. Kol, turning on to the next. I'm now hamachusar tzeda asher. Anything that lacks trapping, and you still have to trap it right now, that's going to be usher on Yom Tov. Which is not considered lacking trapping, that's going to be permitted on Yom Tov. The Gemara is going to discuss more about this case, Bezer Shem. So Bezer Shem will start above with Herminu in tomorrow's Daf.